Certainly, as we talked about last week, heaven is the place that we want to be. We've all missed something. Maybe you missed a flight. You know how frustrating that is.
In these thoughts that God has given to us, what do I do if I miss heaven? And I want you to think about that for just a moment and think about that in relation to what we talked about last week of the reward of heaven and the glory that it's going to be and the picture that was painted for us in Revelation chapter 22 and also Revelation chapter 21 of how great and glorious heaven is going to be for us. But now let's talk about the flip side of what's going to happen if we miss the glories of heaven. And I think sometimes perhaps we don't think on this enough because we don't want to think about the negative side of life, right? We think about that in life. We don't want to think about the bad things. And to be honest with you, even preachers don't preach on this subject probably as much as we should because we want to encourage people. We want to build them up. But at the same time, let me ask you this question. Do you think we need to be warned? Absolutely. I think perhaps we don't warn enough on the reality of what hell is. You know, what would you say if I told you this morning I walked in here and I found a snake slithering around and I think it was a copperhead. But I said, you know what, I'm not going to concern anybody. I don't want to rile anybody and get them worked up. Maybe it just won't bite them. If I'm really lucky, they're not going to see it. And so I'm just not going to say anything at all. How well do you think that would go over if you found out that I knew and didn't tell you as you saw that snake slither under your foot? If you were like me, you would scream like a girl because I don't like snakes. We understand the warning that is our salvation. That is the other side of what happens if we don't hang on to the salvation that God gives us. Just as the Hebrew writer said that we talked about this morning in Hebrews 2 and verse 1, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So we've got to pay attention to the warning signs that God gives us in relation to the opposite side of where we're going to go if we're not obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what should I do if I miss heaven? First, the Bible tells us, and it does state for us, that there are going to be individuals that miss heaven. A lot of that's based upon obedience. According to Jesus, not everyone is going to be saved. Look at Matthew chapter 7. The great Sermon on the Mount as Jesus is closing this out concerning all the things that they could be if they followed Christ. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are righteous. All of these lists that Jesus gives concerning our salvation and what we can have in looking forward to heaven. But then as he's closing out his sermon, he says there are a lot of people that are going to come to him and say, Lord, look at all the great things that we've done. And Jesus is going to say to them, after they've said, Lord, we've prophesied in thy name, we've done all of these wonderful works, what about me, Lord? And he's going to say, depart from me that work iniquity, for I never knew you. Think about that. One that you profess to follow and love and worship and serve says, I don't even know who you are. Based upon your obedience and how you have been following me. So Jesus says, there are going to be many that say, Lord, Lord, in my name, but yet didn't do it according to obedience. And I'm going to say, I have no idea who you are. God's going to say, you're not one of mine because your sins and iniquities, because of the way you've acted, they've separated you from God. And because of that, Jesus said there are a lot of people who are going to miss eternity. So, sadly, unfortunately, there are also going to be a lot of people that die in their sins. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 13 that we are to examine ourselves daily. That is, how am I acting, as we talked about this morning, concerning God's grace, the challenge that God has given me? Has it changed me completely into a new creature? So daily, I've got to examine myself whether those things are right. Because if I don't examine myself in light of God's Word, I might miss a key factor of my eternity. So there's something to be said concerning not only my life in which I'm living, but also concerning my life is in related to Bible study. Because I have to keep up with God's Word, don't I? God's Word is not changing. His commands are not grievous. They're not difficult for us. But at the same time, He expects us to stay in that because if we know His Word and we hide those things in our heart and we use them as a lamp and a light unto our feet, they're guiding our paths, that I know my direction is going to be eternity with God. But if I miss the lamppost or the signs that God has given me concerning the warnings in life, what happens then when I take the wrong turn and I end up in hell? Those are the people that are going to miss eternity. Even Jesus talked about in John 8:44, He said, you are of your father, the devil. A lot of people are going to die in their sins. There's people in the world that I've studied with that will not conform to the gospel of Christ, and they know they're in sin, and they're very honest and straightforward with you. Why? I'm selfish, and this is just the way I want to live. Living a life of righteousness is not for me. I'm not going to follow it. They know they're in sin. There's a lot of people that will die in their sins that don't know they're in sin because we've never told them they're in sin. Again, giving me the responsibility of the Great Commission to teach them. But you see, here's the thing. They're still lost if they die in their sins. So those that choose not to obey God are not going to be in heaven. Those that choose never to hear the gospel because they have their eyes closed or they want their ears to be tickled or hear something great and glorious that's going to make them feel good all the time, those individuals are still going to be lost because they have died in their sin. Those are the individuals that are going to miss heaven. And what's interesting is you jump back to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, heaven is not going to be overcrowded. I don't think there's going to be a long waiting line to get into heaven. Because when you look at Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus said, broad is the gate and wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But what? Narrow is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. Why? Because they want to be disobedient to the gospel of Christ. So because they choose not to be obedient, because the wide path and the wide gate is the easiest way for them, because it's a gradual slope into hell, that's the way they choose to follow because resistance is not as difficult. Now, most of the world does exactly what they want. They've have the least concern for God's wishes. John says in 1 John 5 and verse 19, the whole world lies in wickedness. It does. We live in it. We work in it. But here we are. Here's another reference to the great number that are going to miss heaven. So why are there going to be so many people that are missing heaven? A lot of it's because, simply, people aren't going to obey God. You look at Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Obedience is key for eternity, right? And if I'm not obedient to the entire gospel of Jesus Christ, then certainly I'm going to be one that misses the glories of heaven. Jesus was obedient, and we've got to do the same thing. Revelation 22, 14, blessed are those that follow the commandments of God. Blessed are the individuals that follow all the commandments of God. Obedience is a prerequisite, and a lot of people are going to miss heaven because they refuse to obey God. But also those that are prideful are going to miss heaven. Remember, the shortest book in the Old Testament is the book of Obadiah. And here you have Obadiah that's warning the nation of Edom on what God has told them. It's a series of poems and relations of how disobedient the nation of Edom was. And if we understand the background of the nation of Edom, remember, here you had Jacob and you had Esau. Later, God would rename them into Israel and Edom. The nations that would then come forth from that, the two nations that would continue to fight each other who didn't like each other very much. And Edom becomes this nation of prideful, arrogant individuals because they were located up on this mountainside. They thought nobody could get to them, so they thought they were better than everybody else. And because of that, God knocked them down off the mountain. He brought them to their knees because of their disobedience, because of their pride. Pride will ruin your soul. The major barrier for many people in the world today, and I think the key of it is that many people are too proud to admit they're wrong. Because we all like to admit when we're wrong, right? No, we don't. But pride is a big reason why there are going to be those that miss heaven. A lot of people are also caught up in themselves. Remember in Zephaniah, God said they are disobedient and they are wrong because they had magnified themselves. In Zephaniah chapter 2. They had called themselves better than everybody else. So not only were they arrogant, they put themselves before everybody, but destruction was to come to Judah because of her arrogance and her pride. So we also have to be very careful how we portray ourselves. Again, it goes back to examining who we are as God's children to make sure that we're not coming across in a self-righteous way. And I've heard people say that. The reason I don't go to church is because there's a lot of self-righteous individuals there. Well, maybe that's true. Sometimes people can come across that way. Hypocrites are in the church, right? But am I going to allow those individuals to keep me out of heaven? Absolutely not. You see, because I'm looking forward to my reward, just as Paul said, pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, because that's where I want to be. But there are going to be people who aren't going to be there. And a lot of it, too, is people refuse to live faithfully. They straddle the fence of the world and of the church. Again, Jesus said you can't serve two masters. 2 Peter 1:10, give diligence to make sure that your calling and election are sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. If, then statement, right? If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. Notice the preference? God said you've got to be obedient to be a disciple, to follow me to receive the reward. So if you are obedient, then you get to be one of mine. Just as we were told growing up, if you do this, then you get that. So it's the same thing that applies to us as God's children. God is a God of severity to those that are unfaithful. Remember Romans 11 and verse 22? Behold the goodness and the severity of God. But the problem is today, so many people only focus on the goodness of God and they don't look at the side that requires wrath based upon His judgment and His justice. They only want to see God as this big old softy, right? Like He's a grandpa. If I were to ask our grandparents in here, can your grandchildren do any wrong? You would say, absolutely not. Because grandchildren are perfect, right? That's your reward for punishing your children. All of the things they did to you, you get to spoil your grandchildren and send them back home. But you see, that's the way the world looks at God, as if He's this big old softy. As if His love is going to be this big umbrella that covers a multitude of sins in our lives. But yet at the same time, they don't see the other side of who God is. And brethren, His wrath, which is only cooled by the blood of Jesus Christ, demands justice if people don't accept Christ and if people don't follow Christ faithfully. He has to get justice for what we did to His Son if we don't follow Him faithfully. And the only thing for that justice is an eternity in hell. You know, I don't believe in wishes or things like that, but I always say, if I could be granted one wish, it wouldn't be for a lot of money or wealth and fame and all of these other things that most people want in the world. One wish would be to have people to have a glimpse of hell for 1 second. That's it. Not 5 seconds, not 5 minutes, 1 second. Because I think if we could truly understand the reality of what hell is, it's not a place we would want to go, or nor would we chance and play with. A lot of Christians, unfortunately, in the church today play with fire, realizing that they're going to get burned if they continue to play with it. You see, because of sin, our sin separates us from God, and unforgiven sin will cause us to miss heaven. So, back to the question. What can I do if I miss heaven? There's got to be a back door or way out, right? Maybe if I look really closely within the pages of the New Testament, God surely has given me another alternative. If when Jesus returns and calls us home to the Father, I can do something in that last moment or that last hour to where I can get out of all of those things. Well, here's the key, brethren. You're in the last hour right now. This is your moment if you miss all of those other opportunities that have been laid before you in your life. This is your moment. Because when the Lord calls us home, it's going to be too late. Start to think about some things. Think about how you're not going to have any more opportunities to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. No more will an invitation be offered for you to accept the glories of heaven and the love of Christ and what He did for you at Calvary. No more are you going to hear those wonderful words from Jesus. No more will you hear, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You're not going to hear that anymore. Those words are no longer going to come across our ears to where we can say, I've got one more chance at eternity. Acts 24 and 25, remember that Felix trembled and answered. He said, go thy way for this time. When it's more convenient, I'll call you. Or in Acts 26 and 28, when Agrippa said to Paul, you've almost persuaded me, Paul, to be a Christian. Almost. Think of how your fate is now sealed and how your eternity has now begun. That's it. You know, we hear in the religious world today a purgatory and some of these other things, or how your family can buy you out of that fate. I don't read that in the Bible. It's not a biblical fact, and it's not true. And certainly it sounds good, doesn't it? You know, it's pretty prevalent coming from the south part of Louisiana that I'm from. The religion is very prevalent down there as far as having a good time. That's where Mardi Gras is. You know, party it up all week, have a good time, go to the priest later, say I'm sorry for all these things, and if you happen to miss it, your family could fork over some dollars and they can get you out of purgatory and you can enjoy the glories of heaven later. I don't find that in my Bible. What I find, if I'm not obedient in this life, I don't get to enjoy eternity in the afterlife. That's what the Bible tells me. There's a lot of religions of convenience in the world, but brethren, they're not biblical facts. There's no such thing as once saved, always saved. It's not in the Bible. You see, sin is the reason that people are going to miss heaven. But if that day comes and the Lord returns, and if I know that I'm going to miss heaven, think about how maybe I rejected John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Think about how the Bible tells me that I've got to repent of my sins, right? Unless you repent, you'll likewise perish. Well, guess what? Now I'm going to perish because I didn't repent, because I rejected Jesus. Think about how I never confessed the sweet name of Christ across my lips as the Son of God, Romans 10:9-10. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Think about how I was never washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ to have my sins removed that I might be with God in eternity, to miss what hell is going to be for me if I didn't do those things. So because I never got to relieve the guilt and take those things away, think about how now I can look back on what I missed of what I could have done and why I am where I am now. You see, that's the reality of hell. But now think about this. Because I no longer have the opportunity, I can now begin to think about what Jesus talks about of the realities of hell and to think about the gnashing of teeth. You see, the Greek talks about the literal grinding of the pain and the agony of knowing that's where I'm going to be in eternity. Think about the lake that burns with fire and brimstone constantly for eternity, because that's where I'm going to be. You know, I've been in some places in this world that have been extremely hot. I remember we had gone to Thailand when we were doing an operation over there when I was in the military. And I remember we took out, had put a thermometer on the inside of the airplane. It was 140 degrees inside the airplane that we were working on. 100 degrees on the outside with 90% humidity. Brethren, that's like the winter time in hell. That doesn't even hold a candlestick to what hell is going to be. Because when we think about the reality of what hell is going to be, it's a constant pain and agony. There is no relief. You think about the rich man and Lazarus, how he begged Abraham to let Lazarus dip his finger in water that he might cool his tongue just to give him a little bit of relief. Just something, help me here. Abraham said, sorry. You missed your opportunity. Realize there's no positive thing that you can do because it's all over and it's too late. So the answer to the question is, there's nothing you can do if you miss heaven. But you know the great thing about today, and because today is the day of salvation, I don't have to miss heaven. Because today God gives me another chance to be obedient to the gospel. I've got today. But you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Again, life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. What is your life but that vapor? So you don't have to miss heaven. You only have to miss heaven if you want to. I'm not going to force you to go to heaven. I don't want you to go to hell. But I can't force you to be obedient to Him. I can tell you about the great glories of what He's done for us. I can preach to you about how great and wonderful our God is and what He did at the cross of Calvary. I can encourage you. I can edify you. I can build you up and do all of those things. But if you choose to just simply say, I'm not going to do it, I can't do anything about that. And it will absolutely break my heart if you choose to reject Him tonight. Don't miss heaven, because you don't have to. All of it's laid out before you, and God simply says, come. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, right? Jesus wants to take all of those things off of you. Let Him help you tonight. So if you've never put on our Lord in baptism tonight, tonight's the night. Knowing the realities of what hell is going to be for all of us if we miss heaven, I don't want that to be the case. I don't want to miss my family in heaven. And I think about my family members that will never be in heaven. And the reality of it is, I have some that won't be in heaven based upon the life that they live. Does that break my heart? Absolutely. But also know what this book says. And I can't sugarcoat it. I remember a few years back, I preached a funeral for a lady who wasn't a member of the church. She wasn't religious. And her brother was very adamant in telling me that she did not like religion at all. So I thought to myself, I have to preach her funeral. So I did the best I could by talking with the family. And she was a wonderful lady from what I can understand from all of her siblings, from her daughter. She was this wonderful lady who gave of herself and gave of her heart. But I remember after I preached the funeral, and as we're standing there and everybody else left, and it's just the family around the casket, and I stood off to the side. Her daughter pulled me over and said, hey, Larry, say a prayer so Mama can go to heaven. I can't. There's nothing that I could say at that point. There's nothing that I could do at that point. The only thing I could say was, God, we know that You're gracious and loving, and it's in Your hands now. That's all I could say. Tonight, where are you? I hope that you're on this side of eternity wanting to go to heaven. I hope that you're living faithfully, you're doing all those things required of you, and if you're struggling with this, let us help you. Let us pray with you, let us encourage you, let us build you up. We can do that tonight. And if you're here tonight and you haven't put on Christ, the plan of salvation has been given, you know what you need to do. Let us help you with that tonight as together we stand and as we sing.